A little some shenanigans going on there. Hello, my friends. It's Andy and Hedy coming to you live from Orange County, California. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
This is our first Thanksgiving together and in this house.
Yes.
This is amazing. An amazing time. Really quick, go to California Parent Alliance and subscribe and join us in the fight for our kids. Like you guys, we are busy preparing for our Thanksgiving at our home later on today. And so we thought we'd come live while you're cooking. We figured you could listen and cook at the same time.
Yes.
And set your tables and find out what dishes go correctly with what dish you're serving.
I'm totally overwhelmed. Totally overwhelmed. I'm a little out of practice. I used to be the hostess of the mostest constantly. And now it's just been paper plates and plastic forks. So...
Not today, though.
Not today.
Hey, not today, Satan.
Full table service today.
We're going full on.
We're going with the China.
Yes, and I'm using a new recipe for the turkey and some other stuff, so it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
It'll be fun for sure.
Yeah. Fun so far. So today's devotional is coming to you from the great book of Smith Wigglesworth devotional. This one right here. I'm trying a new technique.
New technique. Is that
doing any better? No, it's still
fantastic.
Oh, that's awesome.
Everything you do is fantastic.
Everything. And we're reading for today, of course, is November 25th, Receiving Impressions. The reference is Matthew 9:9, and it's a simple one. Follow me. Scripture reading is Psalm 63. Smith says, people by the hundreds are continually pressing me with their difficulties, with their strange yet holy and noble desires, where two ways meet and they do not know which one to take. Some have received impressions in their mind and hearts, and I want to show you what comes of impressions. A lady came to me and said, don't you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I have to preach the gospel. I said, there is nothing wrong in that. I want to know where I have to go to preach. So I have come to you to see if the Lord has told you where I am to go. Yes, you have to begin at home. Begin at Jerusalem. And if you are successful, go to Judea. Then if you are successful, God will send you to the uttermost parts of the world.
Do you think he was really telling her to go to Jerusalem?
No.
Okay.
I think that she got the point.
Okay.
I did it the second time I read it. God is not going to send you to the uttermost parts of the world until you have been successful around Jerusalem.
Amen.
Home. We have a tremendously big job. It is well worth doing, and I want to do it well. I want to tell you the difference between the right and the wrong way to discern voices and thoughts that may come into your minds. You have the scriptures, and you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has wisdom. And he does not expect you to be foolish. The Holy Spirit has perfect insight into knowledge and wisdom, and truth always gives you balance. You always need to have one thing removed from you, being terribly afraid.
Oh.
When fear leaves you, power and confidence come in its place. You also need to have another thing that must remain, and that is love. Love in order to obey God rather than your inclinations to be something. But if God wants to make you someone, that is different. My wife tried her best to make me someone, but she could not do it. Her heart was right. Her love was right. She did her best to make me a preacher. She used to say, now, Father, you could do it if you want to, and I want you to preach next Sunday. I did everything to get ready. I tried everything. I don't know what I did not try. It would be best not to tell you what I did try. I had as many notes as would suit a clergyman for a week. My wife's heart and her love, her desires were all right. But when I got up to preach, I would give out my text and then say, if anybody can preach, now is your chance, for I have finished. That did not take place once, but many times. She was determined and I was willing. When I ministered to those who had come forward to repent and receive Jesus, I could bring them right into the kingdom. I could nurse the children while my wife preached, and I was pleased to do it. But don't you know, when the Holy Spirit came, then I was ready. Then the preaching abilities were not mine, but the Lord's. It must all be for Jesus. Oh, I tell you, whatever you may think about it, the whole thing is that you is that there is nothing good without Jesus.
Amen.
Anyone can jump on the platform and say, I am right. But when you have no confidence, then Jesus is all the confidence you require. God must have men and women on fire for him. God will mightily send you forth in the anointing of the Spirit, and sinners will feel convicted. But it will never be accomplished if you have it in your mind that you are going to be something. The baptism is a baptism of death, and you live only unto God.
That's deep.
Wow. And strong. Thought for today, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled with divine equipping. Wow. Interesting. Danielle, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Danielle.
We love having you on every day. I'm thinking about today.
Okay.
In this. And the bringing Jesus and his word, not only in those devotionals, but I'm talking about later on when we have people over.
Yes.
Is that as we are getting ready for all of them today, that the stress of things being done in time, being cooked well and tasting good and all that kind of stuff could take away from what it really is all about. It's not necessarily about that. It's the gathering of people that will, I'm not saying I'm going to burn the turkey, but if I did, I know I have a very strong feeling that everybody, maybe not my kids, but the people, would be forgiving. And then we have to also show, because they would show, because they're godly people.
Gracious.
Every one of them. And they're gracious. But that this is where we have to constantly remember that regardless of what happens, that...
Are you trying to prepare me?
No.
Ruining my...
But the stresses... No, I'm just saying the stresses of it all can take away from that moment. That it'll be Satan entering the room. Like... Yeah. Because we'll be like,
not today, Satan.
I'm not getting my point across, but it's just like, here is an opportunity to be in Jerusalem.
Totally get you.
It's like, the Jesus riding on the donkey into the town. You know, he could have got a flat tire. The donkey could have got a flat tire.
It could have stopped moving. Donkeys are very stubborn, you know.
Very stubborn. And it could have thrown off his entire message if he would let it get to him. But we know Jesus wouldn't have. He goes, the donkeys, you know, I'll just walk.
I'll forgive you. You burn the turkey if it's dry. I mean, for
he was like constantly fear got the best of him in front of the people when he was giving his message.
Well, he didn't have the anointing yet.
And he'd panic.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what I'm saying today. That's what I'm trying to say is that we could let the things, our fear, our unpreparedness, a little extra, too much salt on something or burnt turkey could throw off the gathering and the love of Jesus in our home. I know that was a very long ways to go to get there, but you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Are you getting me? Are you picking up on it?
I mean, absolutely. Okay. I think most importantly too, this morning I said to Andy, I said, listen, you are used to doing everything alone. And so am I. This is our first Thanksgiving together that we're hosting together. He's cooking some stuff. I'm cooking some stuff. Folks, I have never been in a kitchen with another person. I am used to commanding the kitchen. And the only person next to me is a housekeeper. Who I'm like, chop, throw, wash. So for him to start this devotional with, I may burn the turkey, I'm like, but the point is, yes, this is about preaching to ourselves, to one another, not just the guests, but to ourselves, that this needs to be a moment filled with thanksgiving for being saved, redeemed, having enough money to buy food, to have a beautiful home to host other people, to invite guests that don't have family, to really demonstrate the spirit. And there's a lot of things that could detract from that, not just bad food, right? So it could be things that go wrong between us as people, like just remembering to be filled with the spirit, kindness, gentleness, forbearance, self-control, mm-hmm. most of all, love. Yes.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking about what you said earlier, and I was kind of dumbfounded when you brought it up. But I think because sometimes when I'm cooking or doing something, especially reading from a recipe, which I sometimes do, sometimes I don't. But in this case, I get to concentrating. And I think it probably seems weird because I don't always concentrate.
Touche, my friend.
I just fly by the seat of my pants. When I fly, it's a lot more fun flying by the seat of my pants.
Oh, yeah.
Than it is to be following.
Mostly for you, but not your passenger so much.
Yes. Because you came in right when I was mixing because with deviled eggs. So I was making deviled eggs. So with deviled eggs, I found it funny. And I go, you know what? None of the recipes show how much of stuff to put in.
It doesn't give you
at least the ones I looked at. It doesn't give you like, you know.
1 teaspoon of.
Really? 5 teaspoons of mayonnaise.
What kind of recipe is that?
Because nobody, they don't know how many eggs you're going to cook, I think.
Oh, it should tell you 2 dozen or well, 1 dozen. Or
well, maybe it was just the ones I looked at.
Wow.
And so I was going through the process. Now, to my point, I was going through the process of I'm going to add. You don't want to add too much because then you're done.
Ruined.
You're ruined because you only have so many yolks.
Yeah, you ruin the yolks, bro.
So I think when you came down, I was concentrating on, okay, I'm just going to put a little bit of mayonnaise. And then, but you have like 5 different ingredients. So it has to be the right amount of mayonnaise, the right amount of mustard, the right amount of steak seasoning, because I'm using steak seasoning in my deviled eggs. In my angel eggs. What else was there? Jalapenos.
Yes.
Some jalapenos, another one I was making mild with the, but the mixtures, like, and it was hard. I was concentrating.
Yes.
I was trying to figure out like, why did you think that this was
different? No, it's not even necessarily just your facial expression when you were doing that, okay. but it's also telling, it's preparing our hearts for not being caught off guard. That's what I was trying to do, is just saying like, look, we need to be totally present and aware that the enemy can attack, our flesh will attack, but we have to stay on target. And on target is to be gracious and in love and filled with the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit. Not whether the food comes out good, but that we do it, that you and I do it in a spirit of love.
Right. Because you don't do things in the same order.
We don't do, we don't know anything about how we do things. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like in terms of hosting, you know what I mean? Usually Andy's a very good cook. So it's just like, he says, I'm going to make steak. And I'm like, okay. And that's the last I have to do with it. But when we're jointly preparing a meal, it's like, okay, which part of this are you doing? What part of this am I doing? What's the timing? Are you using the oven? Like, so it's all good.
Your words came in and they were good. They kind of like broke it up like, oh yeah, I guess I do have to let you know, what I'm using, what I'm doing, when I'm doing it, that kind of stuff. It was very helpful. I didn't think about it. Obviously. Danielle said she saw the panic in you when I said that I might burn the chick to turkey.
Yeah. That's what I mean about preparing your heart. It's like I prepare my heart for things that may go wrong. And he's like, I may burn the turkey. And I'm like,
You know, it's funny, in my family, in growing up, the men always cooked Thanksgiving.
God, I did not
none of the women
get the joy of that family.
They didn't anything.
What? The exact opposite of Middle Eastern culture. Really? There is not a single man in my if-ish years of living that has ever lifted a finger at Thanksgiving.
It was my dad. And then when my dad got a little bit older, then my brother took over. And then I started doing something.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. My sisters would bring over like a dish.
Yeah.
And then my sister-in-law, my brother's ex-wife now, but she would, bring over something. And then when they divorced, then he did most of the cooking.
Wow.
Yeah. Unless we went to my cousin's house, then the women were doing more of the cooking over there.
What?
They knew how to cook.
Nice. Okay.
Interesting. What about you guys? Who cooks at your house and who, how do you break up the work or do you do it together? We cook together. I mean, we've had dancing contests while we cook. So
yes.
Our history, but Thanksgiving's a whole different turkey, different mess.
I know Danielle, she has a big family, so she probably has a lot of people cooking, but I presume it's all the women as far as I know about Danielle and her mom. So
no, we'd never trust the women to cook. It'd be horrific. We would say my mom would burn the ice and freeze the rice.
Wow.
The rice would always be
I'm actually
crunchy.
Notorious it, for crunchy rice. I'm notorious for crunchy rice. That was my early precedence when I first learned how to cook. So I want to talk about something else in this, because I had this beautiful moment with my daughter yesterday, last night. So I want to focus on this concept of preaching at home. And yes, begin at home. Begin at Jerusalem. If you're successful, go to Judea. And we had this crazy windstorm out here where wind was blowing things like crazy. And normally, my daughter's not a scaredy cat, but she comes in the bedroom at 4 o'clock and she's like, I've done everything. I've been up for hours and I cannot sleep. The wind is scaring me. And I said, okay, no problem. Come lie down here. And she lied down in about 10 minutes and I just prayed for peace and the wind stopped. And she whispered in my ear. She's like, Mom, the wind stopped. And the Spirit of the Lord was on me. And I said, when the apostles were afraid on the boat from the storm, Jesus Christ came and said to the wind, peace, be still. Mm. And I said it just like that to her. And she giggled and kissed me. And she's like, I love you so much, Mom. Mm.
I heard that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful? And it's like, I
heard that part. I didn't hear the prayer.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I heard her say, I love you so much, Mom. And she gave you a kiss.
Oh, and it was.
I didn't want to disturb your moment.
Oh, it was such a beautiful moment because the Lord put the words on my heart. And it was one of those things where it was like, it was a moment in time, but it took, it spanned longer than it felt, longer than it was in actual minutes, because it tied together. Right before that, I had asked her, do you want me to put on Encounter, this meditation? So when she used to sleep with me, I used to play it and it used to make her fall asleep. Then when she decided she was all an independent child, she didn't want to hear the Encounter anymore. So right before this happened, I said, do you want me to put on Encounter? And she's like, I know. And so then I prayed instead. And then this happened and she giggled because, and I know with her, without her saying, she's like, oh man, you and Jesus always come through. Like it calms us. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter whether she wants to believe it or feel it at the moment. It's just, I call her attention to it and she has to acknowledge it. And it was just beautiful. It was so, so beautiful that the Lord gave me that moment and made that happen because literally the wind was blowing.
It was a storm.
It was a storm.
I thought it was blowing the tiles off the roof.
Right?
You could hear them clacking.
The furniture, the furniture upstairs all messed up. It literally stopped once she got in the bed. And that was it for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Way to go, Mom.
Way to go, Mom. Preach at home.
Danielle starts at home, folks. Says that my family tells me to bring rolls and pies. My mom and sister-in-law do the cooking.
Nice. I figured her mom does most of the cooking.
And she said your discussion was beautiful.
Thank you.
And the outcome. And how God showed up.
God showed up. Yeah. It's such a blessing now, those moments.
It's so interesting now that because it went on for hours.
She said she was lying in bed for 4.5 hours and could not sleep.
Yeah, and somebody's window blew out or something. Did you hear the big glass crash?
No.
It was one of the neighbors.
Ours?
No.
Okay.
It was a big, something crashed. Maybe
that's what she heard so loud on her side that scared her.
Oh, probably. Something fell with something of glass, and I don't know what it could have been.
Wow.
It was a big crash. And I think it was shortly after that is when she came in.
So probably, okay.
So, but it was, it was pretty crazy. Let's get to Matthew 9:9.
As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he rose and followed him.
I was mentioning to Hedia that, I'm a big fan of The Chosen.
I'm a fan.
And the character, the actor, how he plays the character. And I'm sure it's what I'm now learning by reading the Bible is that, he's a bit of a serious guy, but also he might be a little bit autistic maybe.
Yeah.
But everything is analyzed. Everything you say, like if you say a wrong word, not that I've ever done this to people. If you say a wrong word, he corrects the word. Or what tense, or what do you mean? So everything, there's a response for everything. It's never just taken with Matthew. Matthew always has a rebuttal of some sort or something. But when Hetty read this earlier before we went live, I said, isn't it interesting that in this case, it's the only time that he's no questions. He rose and he followed him. It's nothing.
Amen. I love it.
It's pretty cool that, the power of Jesus with a guy. And I think that has to happen with us too sometimes. I'm really bad that way. I know I just said I wasn't, but I am. But to analyze everything and question everything. And I told you, if any of this stuff would have happened to me in regard to Jesus approaching or seeing demonic people flopping on the ground and in the
demonic possession, not demonic people. The people are good. They're possessed by something demonic.
The possession of witnessing it, I would have said, get up, don't be an idiot. But I saw it.
Yep.
It was in my presence. And I believe Psalm 63.
I read this. Can I read Acts 1:8 first? This is an often quoted scripture, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I love that he called Jerusalem home.
Wiggles.
That he was just told the lady, go preach in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Which is like, you should be able to preach at home. I don't think he literally meant preach in Jerusalem.
I think I've asked, but I forgot. Have you ever been to Israel?
I have not. I was hoping my first trip would be if we get to go with Jack.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Wouldn't it? He should be scheduled to go in 22, but it hasn't been announced. So I'm assuming maybe it's going to be delayed till 23.
That would be great.
Yes.
All right. I'm just wondering how the size, if you know, I've looked, seen on the map, but it's really hard to tell. Is like our city of Yorba Linda the same size as Jerusalem or Israel?
I'm not good with geography.
I know it's a small country. Yeah. I'm just wondering the size as it compares to our area.
And Psalm 63 is beautiful. So allow me to read this over you and meditate on the words. Let it wash over you this Thanksgiving. And be grateful that we are saved and redeemed by the Lord. O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. And I have to tell you that what I loved about this is not just the comfort we find in the Lord, but giving one's enemies over to the Lord too. And David, I don't know exactly what time he wrote this, but at times he was running from the king, from Saul, who was once very close to him and loved him, and then he had to run from him. And King David had a lot of shenanigans, but he had a heart, the Lord says about him. David was a man after my own heart. So he loved the Lord and relied on him for everything, and he didn't shy away from also saying, I have these enemies and I don't know what to do. And I ask that you send them to the lowest parts of the earth and that you deal with them as you see fit because you are my refuge. And so I read a couple of those scriptures when I was going through difficult times recently with people trying to do bad things to me, say bad things about me.
Right. Which is going to continue. Happen.
Yes.
So it's always good to have this in your back pocket.
Yes.
I had a question. I forgot what it was. Judea. How far away do you happen to know how far away Judea and Samaria?
I mean, they're in the same general vicinity, yeah. But Samaria was the place that was historically in conflict mm-hmm. with Jerusalem, with the Jewish people. They had different, that's where the Samaritan woman was. And then they all became believers after her evangelism. And then the evangelism that happened, the whole town became believers in Christ. So it's an interesting that he mentions Samaria in particular.
Yep. For sure. I wonder what their idea of the end of the earth was at that time.
They didn't know.
Yeah.
And as we heard about the Puritans and the Pilgrims from Pastor Jack, he reminded us that they came to worship God in freedom, and they believed the Lord was taking them to the new world, not to find gold, but to be able to worship God freely. This is so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Prager University has a video that they played before service that was really good.
Oh, nice.
About, in particular, one thing that was interesting, I can't remember the Indian's name, but there was one really important thing that occurred, and the leader of the Pilgrims, which his name is escaping me now too, he says it was a gift from God that this Indian who had been lived with the tribe in the area, he happened to be earlier had been captured and sold to a person in Spain to be a slave. He eventually either escaped or somehow he got away from, you know, the slave driver in Spain, made his way back to America, to the area, and now he speaks English. So these pilgrims were having difficulty, and he needed the help of the local Indians, but they couldn't communicate because they speak English and they spoke Indian
language, right?
Whatever that Indian language is. And because this former slave who now knows English met up with these pilgrims and said, "I'll help you." And he was able to translate, and they were able to work together, and then they were able to get food together thanks to that Indian. That it's like this impossible thing happened. Literally impossible thing happened, but God made it happen. And it's in there. Let me really quick see if I can find, I got the link here. Bruce happened to send it to me. See if I can.
And you're going to play it?
Well, I'm going to put it up that other people can see it in the comments. So it's in there. So just watch that video, and it talks about that particular
incident
with the Indian sent by God.
Love it.
The pilgrims who are simply looking for a place to worship, not looking for, you know, Eden, not looking for heaven on earth. They just wanted to be able to worship without
killed. And we don't realize how much of a gift that is to be free from the Church of England or the Catholic Church. The Christianity and worship that we know today is nothing like the old church, which didn't even allow people to read the Bible themselves, and everything was passed through the clergy, and you had to go to them for forgiveness, and you had to go to them for interpretation. They were intermediaries. Mm-hmm. And the Christianity we believe and practice is that the Lord Jesus Christ is our only high priest, and the Holy Spirit will teach us what we need to know. And we have the inerrant, infallible word of God in the scripture. So
just really quick before we sign off here, you just think about how far we've come. And then all of a sudden we're kind of going backwards a little bit because the panic that those kings and leaders at that time, the Pope of the Catholic faith, who panicked when the people were able to know the truth, like, hey, they can't know the truth. We tell them what the truth is. And once they began to read the Bible and know the truth, then it began to change everything. And we can't control them. How can we control these people if they're allowed to know the truth?
Well, that's what the Second Amendment is, right?
Right.
And that's why they put the Second Amendment in the Constitution, because it is against all enemies, foreign and domestic. The right, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms.
Right.
And that's why they're so intimidated by people being armed. And that's why they say, oh, parents are now domestic terrorists, because they do not understand that freedom is in our blood. Mm-hmm. It's part of the American ethos.
And at some point we will fight for it. We're not going to just lay down. Right now we're using words, unlike them, who have destroyed towns and government buildings and police departments. It's so important to read the Bible, to be in the Bible every day, bring it to your dinner table tonight, and pray. And I think we're going to have some really good times with some of these people. In case you didn't hear, we have some guests that we just simply met at church last Sunday that are going to be coming.
Yes.
And they're from Oregon.
Yes.
So I think that's really cool that they're coming. And then we have your friends all the way from elementary school.
Elementary school.
So the difference between, you know, we just met these friends and friends that you've met for years. And then, of course, our family's going to be here. And I want to also give you a shout out that we had an extra turkey and you wanted to give it to a family. And that family, or the mom, seemingly the mom or maybe the grandma, came and picked it up.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Day before yesterday. And now they're able to have Thanksgiving dinner thanks to you.
I'm so happy.
Your thoughts of giving it out. That's amazing.
Couple that Jack showed last night. Who was the couple Jack showed last night?
No.
Did you see them?
Yeah. No, none of them. No, I know which ones she thinks. It's not. It's an older couple. They're in their, I would say, late
60s.
60s. This couple. If I'm not wrong, the couple that she's talking about were somewhere in their 40s, I think.
Oh, okay. Was it one of the stories?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is a different one. But they were sitting in the front row next to us. And, you know, even before it started, we just started chatting it up. And you guys had a great connection with the wife.
Yes.
Her name's Bobby. And so we thought, you know, they're here in town during Thanksgiving. Let's see if they want to come over.
Yeah. And I was a little worried that they wouldn't find common ground with my friends, Melinda and Jeff and her husband. And interestingly enough, and he's like, oh no, his family races what?
Funny cars.
And dragsters. And that's exactly what Jeff does. He builds funny cars and dragsters. And so I was like, okay, wow. Go figure. So that's awesome. No, Danielle. Oh, they relocated in their 40s. Yeah. Oh, that's funny that they were also from Oregon, those people. Yep. Oh, they were on the video.
Yes.
No, this couple has not relocated. They're one of these like amazing satellite communities. You know, it's really funny, Danielle, is that you could appreciate this. Me and Danielle were part of Elevation Church. And Elevation Church, I mean, I have to say, they kind of invented the whole watch party satellite church because we've been doing it for 4 years, way before COVID. But for Calvary... For Jack's church, it's just catching on everywhere, you know, since COVID. And so they are one of those communities that just grew in connection. So they have a local church, but they grew in relationship with Pastor Jack and came down to visit and are just doing amazing things. He came to the Stand Courageous conference and decided he's going to host a similar thing in Oregon. So they've got 1,200 people coming in February. They have 17 acres out in Oregon. So it's just really cool to meet these kind of people and see the things that they're up to and how they're inspired by Jack, just like we are.
Yeah. This is the 2-day event that he's doing. It's a roadmap to champion manhood.
Yes.
Dr. Joaquin Molina is going to be one of the featured speakers there. 2-day event.
And he said that he invited Pastor Jack and Robin, his assistant. She says, I said, well, what'd she say? He says, she laughed. And I was like, no. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, they never really say no. And I was like, really? Are you sure? I'm like, did you ask? Did you make sure you actually got the question across? Because I don't know. You never know. I think Pastor Jack may go.
And I think he likes Oregon. I've heard him say that he's been there. I mean, sometimes when he takes off for vacation.
And is that stable pastor barn thing in Oregon too?
No.
That he said he wanted to visit? No. Oh, because I was going to say.
Like Idaho or something like that.
Oh, because I was going to say, then he'd definitely go because he said so many times he wants to visit that church.
Yeah, for sure. I put the link to the event Dave is hosting, the one I was showing you on the screen, that Roadmap to Champion Manhood. I like the name.
Yes.
Yeah, I like the little logo there. I'll show it one time. There it is. So 2-day event, February 18th in Eugene, Oregon. I'm really thinking about going. You may talk me into going today.
You may.
As we're there together today. Jan French says, happy Thanksgiving to you too.
You too, Jan, and to all of your loved ones.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Have a great day today. Remember, that's not all about the busyness. It's about spending time with your family. And being present with God. And if you have people coming, I know I have my oldest daughter who's struggling with faith, her faith. So she'll be around us, and she'll be looking, she'll be hearing,
yes,
about God and about our faith between all the people that are going to be here that are all churchgoers.
Yes.
So that's an opportunity, and we'll see what happens. She's very good. She doesn't like go roll her eyes or do anything.
No. And Melinda is not a believer either.
Oh, really?
No, she's Jewish.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting. So I couldn't put bacon on her deviled eggs.
Yes.
Her angel eggs.
Her angel eggs.
Got to put it on there. I keep forgetting. I mean, is she like?
I mean, she's having a bat mitzvah for Halston. Really? Yeah.
Oh, and Halston is too.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the jury's still out. Melinda would like to think she is, but I don't know. I think Jesus is still vying for her.
Oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this. It'll be interesting. We're going to have some fun tonight. All right. Anything else?
That's it.
All right, my friends. We love you guys.
Good luck. Good luck. Be blessed with your cooking. May the Lord's power. I think
maybe you might have been really deep down saying that to me. Good luck with the turkey.
To all of us. Because I'm in charge of the stuffing, I think.
Oh, don't forget about the Edify app. Here's how you download it.
Yeah. This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app. edifi.app.
Boom. All right, my friends. Have a great Thanksgiving.
God bless.
God bless.
Bye.
Bye.